K-Mud Podcast presents.
The Cannabis Show with Sunshine Saraceta and Steve Dodge. And as always, we're real pleased to be doing the show for you and really looking forward to you calling in and putting in your own two cents. You know, it would be real nice to hear from you, to tell you the truth. So happy birthday, Martin. That's Martin Luther King, if you didn't know.
I hope everyone out there is having a good one.
That's right. There's a name I will not name, and probably everyone knows it, more to our shame. Anyway, Javi was playing.
Oh, it's just a bump in the road.
I think it is, too. And I do. I got kind of depressed about all this, but then I think the fool's an idiot, or the idiot's a fool. I'm not sure which way to go with it. Anyway.
I know. I listened to the speech. I was like, really? I was like, oh, man.
Yeah,
I know. I didn't really like this.
I know.
Spill was a little.
So we're going to have Jamie Dark from Dark Staffing on as our guest. And I believe that Javi is calling her right now, and we'll have her in. Is she with us? Get in her studio.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, welcome to the show.
Jamie, welcome to the show. So glad you could get on. I gave you kind of short notice, but you stepped up for us. So thank you very much. And, you made
no
a
rec- problem.
Yeah. Okay. Good. You made a recommendation to me to reach out to a company you help with staffing. God, I just drew a blank on them. Well, I'll get it back again in a second. But they seem like real nice people. And thanks for letting me know about them.
Of course.
So why don't we start out with you telling us a little bit about yourself and about your business?
Well, first and foremost, thanks for having me on, guys. Always a pleasure. And I'm always happy to connect good people to good people. So I appreciate that actually worked out and you guys are shaking hands. But good evening. I'm Jamie Dark, owner, founder, CEO of Dark Staffing Solutions here in Humboldt County. I have an office in Arcata. We do currently staff throughout the state of California, with primarily most of our workforce being in Humboldt, just because our headquarters is here in Arcata. So we have a little bit more of a footprint locally. But just as we were talking about connections, we started out in 2017. And a lot of businesses have branched out and left the county, obviously. And we've been introduced to other entities. And so we contract labor and staffing. So not only cannabis, we did eventually open up different divisions. But we have a primary focus on cannabis. That is our love. That's where we started. I don't think we're ever going to give that division up. That's going to be, you know, our passion, and that's where we'll always put our, you know, most of our effort into. But by default, a lot of people own different companies, and so there is a need for human resources or staffing and payroll, so we've reached out and helped other entities. But Dark Staffing Solutions, I'm a farm labor contractor that allows me to, you know, do farm contracting with cannabis, and then we also have a staffing division that links the production side. So, for example, Steve, my introduction to the manufacturer or the production site that you're taking your product to.
My brain finally cycled around, Jamie. It's advanced processing.
Yes, there you go. It's advanced. I wasn't sure if you were going to want to mention them, but yes, it's advanced processing, and they have a couple different locations, and they reached out to us last year. And, you know, I'm always hesitant, Steve, to refer people to entities without having firsthand experience. So the fact that we have our people in there manicuring the products and that come through there, we've had nothing but positive experience from the employee and employer side. And then I haven't heard anything negative about them in terms of contractual fallouts or bad business or even bad trim jobs. The trim job is very beautiful, and they're very good about taking products they know they can work with and return in good status. So I will give them a shout out and say that, you know, we've been fortunate to do business with them and be able to help out our growers by linking them to a good resource. And not only that, but they actually have connections throughout the state, you know, for sales too. So I find that to be a double win, especially when we're all struggling, when farmers are struggling right now, especially to make things happen. We need to make new friends and new connections. And so I'm happy to, you know, meet and introduce these people. So, but yeah, a little bit back to dark, but that's where we're at. So currently right now, okay, we're running labor in Humboldt, Sacramento, Santa Rosa, LA, Northridge. So we have quite a few locations that we're pushing crews right now.
Well,
wow, that's amazing. You've grown since I think the last time we talked.
Substantially, yes.
Substantially.
But it's sad because, well, when the growth is as far as where we are doing staffing, but unfortunately, you know, we hit a bubble in COVID days. That was like, you know, we did the best we've ever done during COVID. I think that's when cannabis was really thriving, and I think everybody was all in, and, you know, pedal was on the floor. Everybody was going, the gas was, we were going. And then it kind of slowed down. I think everybody was catching their breath after COVID, and then money started becoming an issue. Money is still an issue, obviously, for some people. I think they've ran their course with whatever funding or money they had. And I think right now what we're seeing is kind of a liquidation. I don't know how you guys are feeling, but with prices the way they are, the only obvious is that we have a glut in product, and it's driving prices down, and it's kind of a sad closure for some entities. I'm definitely not doing business with the same entities that I have over the years, and that hurts our heart at dark. But with that being said, you know, it opens up new doors and new relationships, or, you know, friendships and business opportunities. So I think that with us, we're just going with the flow as much of you guys, you know, the farmers, and we're all just trying to figure it out, basically. So, you know, I'm hopeful. Yeah. I don't know how you guys are feeling, but I'm hopeful that it's going to shake out and it'll work out and the strong will survive.
Well, you know, Jamie, I want to be hopeful. And sometimes I do fall into kind of a depressed hole, but I don't want to stay there very long. Certainly it's not going to do us or any of our listeners any good. I know that it sounds like you have branched out into general staffing, not just cannabis staffing. Is that true?
That is true. Yeah. We have had the opportunity to do a few events within the cannabis space and provide staff. And then I was introduced to a marketing firm that's based out of San Francisco, and they do big tech events. And so they reached out and asked us to put a proposal in for staffing at the Chase Center for a big, you know, tech entity. And we are excited to jump on it. So we've had a few contracts with that, which is outside of the cannabis space. But, you know, it's still bringing people to people. So it's within our wheelhouse. But definitely a different division that we're building out actively, and hopefully it'll be something that takes off. We currently have a couple proposals out for Vegas. We currently do staffing in Long Beach and then San Francisco for that sector for event staffing. So hopefully you'll see that roll out and you'll see us become a little multi-state in that division. That'll be exciting. Keep us busy on our off season, especially.
Especially, yeah. And, you know, here in the show, we've recommended to our listeners that they consider diversifying, not necessarily sticking with pot. It's a struggle. Here you have started doing general staffing, event staffing. I know that Green Ox, a local, very nice local business. He does some cordwood. In fact, just the other day, I bought some cordwood from him. And I think that, I don't think people should be shy if something like this event staffing door opens for you, then, or for somebody else, then you should step through, you know? And, you know, you may find, and our listeners may find, that there's, in fact, other things that will help you meet your life goals. That, and I'm not trying to say give up on cannabis, you know? You know, Jamie, I'm just trying to say be practical.
Exactly. I couldn't agree more. Yeah. And I think that's just the way that, you know, we're all – I think that the beautiful thing about our industry is that we're full of a bunch of very intelligent entrepreneurs that, you know, took the opportunity to be entrepreneurs for so long and run a business the way that we know how to run a business. So I think all of us can shift and figure out what the next calling is if it's not going to be within a cannabis space. And we're starting to see that. I mean, you've seen a lot of people branch out. I've seen people get their contracting license or, you know, get back into contracting because a lot of people sidebarred their careers to do the Green Rush cannabis thing for the years that it was lucrative and raise their families and have, you know, the work-life balance that we all so desired before, you know, 2017.
Yes. So a few minutes ago, you mentioned connections. And I wonder, can you expand on that? What do you mean by the importance of connections?
Well, I think with the glut of product, I think that there's a lot of options, and I think that there's a lot of great product out there, and sometimes it's a matter, you know, people do business with people they like. And that's, at the end of the day, the biggest deal breaker is if you have burned a bridge and it comes down to doing business with you and somebody else, I think it's inevitable that that connection is lost. So, you know, we have all had connections, our, you know, brokers, our processors, and a lot of that has changed and has been a forced change, whether it was because, you know, you have to work with somebody with a license now or somebody who's legal or, you know, when I say legal, just somebody who has documentation because you have to do payroll because it's now a tax write-off and you can't justify spending hundreds of thousands of dollars in labor without a tax write-off, right? So at the end of the day, it becomes a forced change that, you know, we have to accommodate. So I don't know. I think that it's important to maintain your connections and make sure that you're seeking relationships in all avenues, because if you're all in on one broker or one distro, and that distro owes you money. And, you know, I hear from farmers when I go out that there's distros and manufacturing companies that owe them to the tune of hundreds of thousands of dollars, and it's heartbreaking, especially knowing that sometimes there's no there was no contract, there's nothing in writing. It was kind of like, you know, everybody defaulted to the good old days of when you trusted your connection because, well, that was, you know, that was the only way. And now there are so many options that, you know, a burned bridge to some is no longer like an issue. So when I say it's important to have your connection, it's important to be able to, you know, Steve, as you know, your product is, everything is timing and everything has to happen flawlessly, because if you get an order and you get a sale, you got to make sure your product's processed and cured and dried and ready, because if you're not ready, somebody else is going to be ready.
That's right.
And so you need to have your processing in order and have that product ready and have a reliable source. And so you need to have a relationship with your processor. You also need to have a relationship with your broker or your distro, because when you have product ready to go to market, you have a timeline. And if you don't meet that timeline, your product becomes stale, it becomes old, and your broker is no longer interested in that because somebody else has light debt that's pulling down tomorrow and is going to have fresh, you know, it's going to have fresh. It's just the way it goes. So your connections are important, and I said depth but mixed light. And I think it's important for everybody to realize that if you, you know, not only do you need grade A quality product anymore, or what they're considering that kind of product, or within your niche, if it's outdoor, you know, really good product, and then a product that makes sense to process or have it outsourced for processing, and then a product that makes sense for market. So I think that the connections are important, because I think, too, if you have a really good distro, they will tell you what the market demands are, and they will work with you to make sure that you are fulfilling that market demand, or at least their market demand. So again, the connections are important across the board. And, you know, what we're starting to see are the people that aren't necessarily able to move product. Maybe their connection somewhere in that supply chain and that connection, it's lost, and maybe by no fault of their own. So I just advocate and want to introduce people, and Steve like yourself and Sunshine like yourself, who we all have integrity, and that we haven't wavered from that. I haven't heard that anybody has. So it's good to introduce us and keep those connections going, so that way everybody can do what they love and like fulfill this passion for this product that we still have, you know? So.
Yeah, I definitely, that part alone is a struggle.
Yeah, you know? that was well said.
Yeah, I think so too, Sunshine. The thing about connections is because we've talked on the show too, and you know, I'll be straightforward about it. If you get a distributor, for example, and they end up owing you hundreds of thousands of dollars, which can happen, you made a mistake. Okay, at it. In the old days, who would have done that with somebody?
It depends. I mean, I'm gonna speak up a little bit.
Yeah, please do.
On this one, is like because the distributor hasn't really put any money on your product, any of their money on the product. It's really up to you, and it's your responsibility to like make sure that like you got to check up on your product. You got to check up on the inventory. You got to check up on the climate and the temperature. You got to check in. You can't just drop off stuff and then walk away. You still have some responsibility. You have it. You really like, I mean, until it's cashed, until the cash is in your hand, you're still working to get, you know, I'm like, you're still working to get paid. Like it's not done until it's done.
Yeah. And that's,
and you know, and Steve, like the mistake, you know, I agree. At some point you did make a mistake, whether it was the relationship that you invested the trust in, or, you know, the check-in, like Sunshine said, was mentioning, you know, sometimes you made a mistake, and like, it is just the relationship that you chose, and that person chose to not remain in the integrity circle. And it sucks. And we're seeing a lot of that. And a lot of it is, again, I mean, it's, you know, fueled on, can I feed my family? Can I make mortgage? I mean, I can't tell you how, you know, many farmers have reached out in this season and asked us to front their labor. And that's a hard no for us, because at the end of the day, when I'm left holding a bag and you don't have anything to put in it, I'm the one holding the bag. And it just goes for you guys too, as farmers. Yeah. And it's awful when you release your product and you are releasing it with the full trust and belief that that product will result in you getting paid so you can live your life and, you know, make the living. And it's just right now such an oversight on, you know, the recourse for people doing dirty things and not paying, basically. And
it would just be that. It really would make things a lot easier, because there's so many different steps. Like I said, you're not paid till you're paid. So that means that, that means like whatever that trail that herb is taking before it finally gets to the buyer, you're so much further away from that as the farmer. You just don't really know. You don't may not necessarily know what is going on and how things are being moved around, or even who's been buying your product, like all this. So like if the distributor was like just buying it, right? If they were paying for packaged product and paying for bulk, you'd be done. You wouldn't have to keep like, you know, like, I mean, you wouldn't have to keep tracking all these different sales and keeping track, because you're still keeping track. You have to. It's your responsibility. You're not paid until you're paid. You got to keep track of what's happening. And so it's like, it'd be nice to just get paid and not have to, like, once it's done, it's done. But it's not really set up like that.
I'm going to jump in here real quick.
Yeah, and I like to hear from your guys' perspective on that, because I don't always hear the frustrations on your guys', and I just, you know, so it's nice to get a perspective, your perspective. But Sorry, Steve, I didn't mean to.
No, it's okay. And I agree that input is really, really important. In fact, I would welcome our listeners to call in and let us know what they think on that. We will be opening up to callers in about 10 minutes. But I did want to remind our listeners that they've got KMUG Community Radio's The Cannabis Show with your host Steve Dodge and Sunshine Saraceda. And we're very pleased to have Jamie Dark from Dark Staffing on as our guest. We've been talking about a number of things, and one of them that really struck me, Jamie, was your choice of the words integrity circle.
Yes.
I think that that's a great way to go actually to the core of what we're talking about. Don't you think so?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. You know, in the old days, I keep saying that, but it really hasn't changed in the new days. I was looking to grow an integrity circle, you know, and just to be blunt about it, I came across Yahoo after Yahoo, and I had to be as strong as I could. Often it was easy, you know, Jamie, the guy was a jerk, and it was easy to not work with him. But as you said, sometimes, you know, you can tell that somebody's feeling pain, and they're essentially, when they're asking for that front, they're asking for help. And you just, dark staffing isn't a bank, you know, and our farms aren't banks. Sunshine?
Oh, yeah. Right. I was just going to say, and you can't necessarily be paid in pounds, so.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and it's true. And I think, you know, in typical agriculture, I'm sure everybody studied, but in typical agriculture, there are different rules for taxes. And I'm going to talk about this. I'm going to sound like an idiot because I can't exactly quote what they have, but I believe they don't pay quarterly taxes like you and I do, like for payroll, or even they don't report. I think it's either a payroll tax or an income tax. And they only have to report it one time, whereas the rest of us have to do it quarterly, right? At least.
Yeah.
And so they get breaks. They also are able to take out loans from banks, from financial institutions to run their businesses, to support a crop or a harvest and things that cannabis doesn't have access to. And I know that this has been discussion that has been had before. And, you know, I'm probably just, you know, bringing up dust that's hit the floor already. But it's like, you know, this is the problem. They're, you know, that we're all, everybody's all in on their farm and their harvest and their labor and everything it takes, their nutrients, everything it takes to get there. And then the money's out, but it's all sitting there in product. Well, typically, again, you're able to get like some kind of loan to get you through that until harvest comes. And now everybody's forced to, like, you know, basically rob Peter to pay Paul sort of thing. And usually it's in the ancillary business sectors where it's like, okay, I can take out, new, you know, whatever supplies I need from the store, the wholesale stores, and just put that on, like, you know, credit, basically. And then they're probably left holding a lot of AR right now. And I would be interested to know if you guys have talked to any of them to find out what the state of, like, the ordering is now with, compared to what it used to be, things like that. So I don't know. I'm probably just talking about stuff that's already been talked about. I'm sorry.
No, but I think what you're talking about actually goes to the core of some of the problems we have in this industry of ours. And it would certainly be enlightening to, I mean, if farms are going down, so are their suppliers. You know, and if it's acute for the suppliers, then chances are it's acute for the farms too. You know, so basically you've been talking about financial pressure, you know, and everybody now, and we can go over the reasons, we've gone over them several times on the show, why the business itself, the cannabis business, is under financial pressure. And what we've been trying to cover over and over again on the show are ways to handle that financial pressure. One is to diversify like you've done, you know, actually step out of the industry, not leave it, but step out of it. Can you offer any other ways to handle financial pressure that have come to your mind?
KMUD is a community radio station in the Redwood region of Northern California. Donate to support people-powered radio at kmud.org.
You know, aside from generating other income outside of your current business, you know, I just think it's a matter of, you know, we talked about that integrity circle, but it's also a connection circle that you need to make sure that that's, you know, fruitful and vital at all times and constantly making connections. And as farmers want to be farmers and keep your head down and, you know, grow products, it's unfortunate that this business has become, you have to step into a sales role sometimes. You're going to be your own business manager, your own accountant, your own CEO, your own bookkeeper, your own advocate, everything it feels like at times. So I think that as far as the, you know, if, and as you mentioned, how do you run a business and put 100% into it and then know that you're going to be running other business too and want to put 100% of that? It's hard. And maybe I'm just focused on my own business and how that would be very challenging to branch out and do multiple being all in on dark staffing. You know, it is hard. It is hard to think about that and switching those hats. But again, our industry is full of entrepreneurs, and I think it's a really good idea for them to seek other opportunities and maybe even align themselves with some of the businesses that they're working with. For example, I know that some of the farmers are really great salespeople because that's been the nature of the beast for many years. They've been their own broker. They've been their own connections at times, you know, so they can do that. So maybe they want to get into sales, or maybe they want to get into finance, like on the back end, because a lot of people are educated and came into this industry with degrees that they sidebarred because, well, quite frankly, it was very lucrative and a very fun industry to work in. And it still is. Maybe I sound very negative tonight. So I apologize for that. I don't mean to sound negative. I'm super excited about, and I'm hopeful. But if we're going to talk about money and the dismal state of it.
I don't think you're sounding negative, because when I was making $4,300 a pound, it was a lot more fun.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree. When I was, when I came out here in 2005, it was a lot more fun. And I know that was a long time after a lot of people have been in this industry. So, and that there was a drastic change pretty quickly after I moved out here on the value of that. And I'm sure, you know, like myself, there were a lot of people that found themselves out here chasing that dream and fulfilling that dream to some extent. And some of us were doing it, I want to say professionally, and some people were doing it haphazardly. And I think that, you know, it left its mark. And I think that even as legalization happened, I think that there's a lot going on. But okay, so back to making money. I know that there's a lot of, you know, are we allowed to talk about the illicit market and what's going on there? Because, yeah, I mean, that seems to be pretty fruitful for some folks at this point in the game. So I don't know if that's an indicator of the market and why we're seeing some fire sales in the market. But I do know that, you know, that seems to be an uptick in backdoor deals. To the tune where, you know, I've had processing entities shut their doors, and then the people that work within those entities be very open about how, you know, the illicit market is going to be keeping them busy for a while, which is a big indicator that things are turning on a little bit on that side. And maybe that's our direct competitor right now across the board, you know, not only farmers, but even let's talk about the stores, the shops.
Yeah.
Where the sales are. I mean, and the fact that we keep giving licenses and there's another shop on every corner. And while that's great for the consumer, there's options and, you know, there's, you know, free market. There's an opportunity for brands to get in stores that they didn't have an opportunity to. Like, I do see the positive, but sometimes the negative is, you know, you're just moving funds from one to the other and making it harder for one entity to remain the same level of, you know, customer service or even product on the shelf and pay payroll. And so it's just spreading out revenue across the board. And then on top of that, sharing that with the illicit market where you don't have to pay the tax and the premium. And, you know, you can get your flower for very cheap, as we all know right now.
Yep.
So it's definitely, it's, you know, and that'll shake out again because, you know, people are going to go in for a little bit and then pull out because they're going to see the writing on the wall. So it's this whole ebb and flow of the industry, and it's very interesting and interesting. And I definitely don't have all the insight. I just have it from my, from the things that I see and experience. But, you know, it's nothing that we haven't seen before. The timing, the fact that product's sitting around, but yet it's moving. The noise has been happening the last week or so. We've heard a lot of buzzing, which is always exciting for us at Dark Staffing. Whenever we get calls from, like, manufacturers or even different entities that need, like, packaging and labeling done, that's a huge indicator for us that things are moving. And, you know, from north to south right now, we have had an uptick in calls the last 2 weeks for packaging and labeling positions. So that,
sure,
for us, is an indicator that things are moving again. So that's exciting.
I'm going to jump in and remind our listeners that they've got KMO Community Radio's The Cannabis Show with your hosts, Steve Dodge and Sunshine Sarasota. We're really pleased to have Jamie Dark from Dark Staffing with us talking about the biz. And if you'd like to ask a question, make a comment, we really want to hear from you. And you can get us here at 707-923-3911. Javi, our engineer, will get you in the studio. That's 923-3911. And Javi, do we have a guest? Okay, let's get him in the studio. Hi, you're in the studio.
Hello, good evening. This is the Ocelot Oscillators. Have you heard of us?
No, I don't think so.
What we're doing is we're using music to increase the efficacy of our plants. And we've used an oscillator. And what we do is we increase the wavelength at the pitch level. And we expose our plants to that. And we've noticed great success in doing that with sawtooth waves. And we've also tried it with cosine waves and all other forms of sound waves through our synthesizers. And we found that the plants are very respondent to music.
Sweet.
And we're trying to make more studies of this in terms of how it affects the human body relationship to the plants as well. And we're only using a few combinations at this point, but this is our area of research. And that's why we call ourselves the Ocelot Oscillators.
Oh, that's awesome.
It is pretty awesome. You know, when you get...
And ocelot is an interesting animal. You might like to study them. They're quite interesting.
They're pretty cute, too.
You know, you're going to get more and more information on this as time goes by. And I'd certainly like to hear about it.
Well, it has to do with the wavelength as well as the temperature and also being exposed to certain forms of air. Like ocean air with the higher 4% more lithium exposure has to be careful because sometimes it's too much. So that has to be only let in sometimes.
Okay.
Depending on the moisture. It's all relative. It's like a theory of relativity with music, plants, and airflow.
Love it.
Hey, thanks for your call.
All right. Goodbye.
So, Jamie, do you have any thoughts on oscillation?
Well, I know that we listen to music in the garden a lot, so I wonder if we are helping the situation.
I think our caller may be onto something.
I think so, and also just being sensitive to the environment, to the moisture, and the different things about the ionized air on the ocean and how it all plays out, and just anyway, it's good. Be paying attention.
So. You know, this topic we were discussing before the caller came on board, just the other day I had somebody suggest or hope or state, I'm not sure what, that growth may be coming back into the market. You know, the law of supply and demand. I like to think that especially Humboldt grows killer pot, and it's not random that we grow killer pot. And nobody can convince me that big growers grow killer pot. I think their pot's okay. But It's I know it sounds so hippie, Jamie, but I think that
no,
love,
Steve,
love
I'm
and attention.
Agree. I agree with you. I'm going to jump in. I don't mean to cut
yeah,
you off.
No,
I've seen it across the state. We do it the best here. I'm just going to say, I'm going to back you up on that 100%. We have the best growers. We have the best. It's just the product here is, I mean, you can't.
And how much better is it? A little bit better or a lot better?
You know, I feel like obviously it's definitely dependent on the farm and the grower, but the amount of great product that I see coming out of Humboldt, it's phenomenal. And
yeah.
I think it supersedes and what we're seeing in other areas. So I will back that up and say that.
Yeah. It's consistent. It's consistently good out of one region.
You hear many people talking about how this is kind of the Napa Valley of pot. And I know internationally we're very well respected. Now, this doesn't mean we can rest on our laurels because here on the show we've talked about how there's actually a number of people who don't understand or don't know that we really are the best. And what I like is that it backs up our efforts, our smiley, happy faces, our efforts to break into a dispensary or show off at an event, you know. And I have personally seen people come up and go, you've got Humboldt, with that sort of tone in their voice. And, you know, I'm perfectly happy to say, yeah, I sure do, you know. So it was just one person. Talking about that. But I think that they were onto something. Now, I want to comment on the backdoor deals. And first of all, again, something we've shared here. What in the world did the state think was going to happen? Okay, you take a bunch
of... But there's metrics. There's metrics, Steve. That solved all the problems. What are you talking about?
Well, metric is okay. I'll go out there. Don't make me laugh.
I'm sorry.
I know. Well, I understand why the state has brought metric on board, you know. But metric hasn't really helped people make the money they need to stay afloat to take care of their families. And frankly, the backdoor deals, the old school, it's coming back, or it came in and filled the vacuum that it was just, if you think about it, it was obvious that
would
happen.
I'm just out of curiosity, like, what is the global price right now? I mean, if you were to, like, look at it in a global sense, I'm just saying this because it just seems like we have such, where globalism's at these days, and then all these new markets of cannabis that are opening up, and how much the price of pound might be there could be like quite a bit more than even here.
So it could be.
You know, I just have to wonder exactly about what's going on, because
you really should wonder, you know. And if the feds were to make it legal, we might be able to find out. I believe we have a caller. Javi, you want to get him in? Hi, you're in the studio. Hello.
Hey, Steve, and hey, Sunshine. My name is Chris Bailey, and I'm writing a book. You probably heard about the book. It's A Wonderful Life, based on my family's history. Because of the fires, I'm really seriously thinking about having a summer house down in Southern California. It'd probably be a winter house, too. And so I'm going to look into that prospect. The book will be published, unfortunately, after Trump has left the office. I wonder why. But anyway, what I'm thinking is that I would like to set up a Humboldt shop specifically for Humboldt, Southern Humboldt growers, so they would have a place in Beverly Hills where we would have a smoke shop. Now, I haven't talked to Chef Dan Murphy, who used to do the fish show exclusively. He's a friend of mine. Dennis is a friend of mine, and so is Jordan Jumpshot. And Jordan is going to get about $500,000 when this is all said and done. This is like 4 years out, unfortunately. You know, Trump is in the White House, of course. So what I'm thinking is I'd like to connect with the Southern Humboldt growers, So they have an exclusive place in Beverly Hills. It would be our smoke shop. It would actually be their smoke shop. I will go out and find the location. I know Beverly Hills. My grandfather developed Beverly Hills back in the 1920s. And so,
yeah, that's cool.
And so anyway, I'm just putting that out to the community. In about 4.5 years, we're going to do that.
Well, certainly keep in touch with us as your project percolates and matures. I know personally I would love to have my Soham weed in a Beverly Hills smoke shop.
Well, let me tell you something. Our family, we just went through the centennial of my family's living in the Hollywood Hills. They've been passed away now. My grandfather's been passed away for more than 50 years, but my father passed away in 2009. So, you know, I still have active fires in Southern California in Hollywood, and we're going to get this done. And I'm doing it because I'll have the money. I'll have spare extra millions of dollars to do it with. Even though I'm going to give a third to my brother, I'm going to give a third to my sister, but there's going to be movies and all sorts of things going on. So
all right,
it's going to be the bomb for
Beverly
Southern Humboldt.
It's going to be the bomb.
Hippies.
Well, believe me, Southern Humboldt needs that that kind
I
of help.
I can't wait to do it. I'm, you know, Trump got it, man. I didn't know what was going to happen. You know, we all didn't know. But anyway, I'm just putting that out to the community. I'm going to make Southern Humboldt a nice little unique area again, and we're not going to have to worry about money from coming in from a lot of different places. I also will build a new grocery out in the local area. So anyway, I thought I'd put that out to the community, and hope you have a great new year.
Hey, all right, thanks, Chris.
Have fun doing it.
Boy,
that was inspiring.
Jamie, is that a cool idea or what?
I love it. I love taking the roots and spreading them. So that's great. Love that.
Yeah, I do too. It's a shame that he feels he has to wait so long.
I know. I've, of course, would love for that to be like what's happening in four and a half months, not years.
That's right. 4.5 months, not 4 years. But maybe he'll do as I requested, and he'll keep us updated, you know, as it goes. I doubt very much that there's one grower in the area that would go, oh, no, I don't want to be in Beverly Hills. I don't know. Maybe there is one, but not me. How about you, Sunshine?
I mean, yeah, for sure. My response to that is like, I mean, yeah, you know, people don't have to be so burdened by luxury. They could just smoke it instead.
They can just smoke it instead. Sure. Okay, last time to our listeners, you've got the Cannabis Show. And, you know, we're closing. We got about 10 minutes left in the show. And if you want to make a comment or ask a question, give us a call. You can get us here at 707-923-3911. Javi will get you in the station, 923-3911. Give us a call. I've seen lots of people falling back on, I keep calling it the black market, but falling back on that, the illicit market.
It's called black market is what it is.
It is. Yes.
It is what
it's
it,
called,
is.
Called, it is. It's called, I wasn't sure if I was being politically correct if I said that on your
Well,
show.
No, yes. I mean it's
– Oh, you are. Don't you worry about that.
It's black market because those who are in the black market, they're ahead. They're in the black. Everyone else is in the red market, the debt market.
That's right, the debt market, which is a horrible way to look at it, but unfortunately, I think it's paying it's paying forward to the truth on that. So let me ask you a question, because now you got the black market, and everybody pretty much thinks that, you know, it's slowly but surely erasing the illicit market. It has all these advantages, like you mentioned yourself. They don't pay taxes, they don't pay state and local fees, all the rest of that.
Well, but, I just have to also think about how the regulations affect the overall consumer experience, right? Not just the consumer, not just the producers, but just the end consumer. I think that the regulations, they're also getting a little bit of a not so good experience.
Oh, I agree.
It's true. I mean, every time you want to go and buy a product, you feel like you're on a shakedown. You walk in the store, it's like your ID, you scan it, and, you know, it's like process. It's not...
Yeah.
There's a damn bouncer at the door.
Exactly. You get buzzed in. It's like so...
Stupid
like
packaging.
There's like a glass door. You know, some of them have like... it's just... Yeah, I like to shop. I like the experience. And so when I go out of the areas and I go visit my clients, I will stop in there. And most recently, I was in San Diego. And, you know, the experience is just, it's just always different in that, you know, some are super great and you feel welcome. And then others, like you said, you get buzzed behind two doors to get in and there's an armed guard with guns. And you're thinking, really? Okay, here we are. Like, all right, that's where we're at. Like, just trying to get some herb. Like, this is kind of crazy, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what, to me, yeah. That's what I think,
too. You know, in Sunshine, not only is it just, like, it's not only, like, the taxes and the money part, but, like, Metric. We brought up Metric. Let's just talk about what you have to do to even sell your product now.
Right.
You have to go in. You have to do, I mean, I'm not 100% sure exactly what goes on now, but there's, like, manifest. You have to move stuff. You have to follow your product until the money, you know, until it's done. And that's a lot of work. And especially if you're a store, it's no longer just one transaction where it's like, okay, you're buying $50 in products. Here's the transaction. It's like, okay, I took your $50, but now I have to pay this person, this entity. You have to report it, move it in Metric, pay out the farm. It's just a lot. Way easier back in the day that a notebook and paper, and, you know, if you had to, otherwise it was just a done deal and it was never recorded. It was just moving along. So
yeah.
Way different. The paperwork is just ludicrous now. Crazy.
That's the word, ludicrous.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, stressful too, you know, really stressful.
Well, it's just time away from actually making money.
Right.
That's right.
And you have to pay. And then if you want to still be a grower, then you have all that you still have computer work. You still have, like we talked about, the administrative work. Maybe you want to pay somebody to do that. Now you have that expense. Now you have an employee. Now you have the employer burdens, such as, I mean, managing a person, managing their time, making sure they're doing what they're telling you they're doing, like holding them accountable. You know, almost more work sometimes, especially if you're dealing with, I can only imagine, permitting and legal stuff, and you're banking on somebody that you're paying an hourly rate to make sure that they cross their T's and dot their I's. It's probably a lot of stress that is, mm-hmm. like, you know, justifiable to just take things out the back door.
Yeah.
A little less stress.
Yeah, it is. The stress alone is a motivator, but the desire to not have the stress.
It is. I mean, like you said, just managing people. On top of all, yeah, it's definitely a lot.
Well, you know, we're getting up to the top of the hour.
The reward is a lot different.
Yeah.
Sorry, Steve.
That's okay. We're getting at the top of the hour, Jamie, and less than 5 minutes. And I did really want to ask you your thoughts on the state of our business, perhaps projections for where you think it's going to be going in 2025.
You know, 2025, my only indicator is just I'm on the labor side, and obviously my ear is always on the wall listening and, you know, to my clients and what they're saying, and then obviously as consumer too, I love consuming, and so I play both parts in that I get to be part of the production of it, and then I get to be part of the consumption and see both sides. I'm really excited about the production side in way of the calls that we're getting. I actually, you know, just to give like testimonials, you know, I had a grower from one of the rural parts of Humboldt. And he owed me about $800 for quite a while. And, you know, I don't let people owe me money usually, but in this situation, it's a friend. And, you know, I hadn't talked to him in a while, and he actually came through and paid and then put labor contract on order for 2025. That gave me a significant amount of hope. Because what that particular individual has done is created the connection that we are discussing, where when one door closes, you have to open up five more to make sure that you can still eat tomorrow.
Yeah.
And so with that being said, that person, one door that he was all in on, and it rocked his world for a while, shut, he had to really manifest and get these other connections, and he did. In way of that, he already has 2025 unlocked. And so... I'm excited because I'm hopeful in that the connections are made, people are following through, the integrity is being held in 2024, therefore people are continuing in 2025. But the moral of that story is that he came correct on his accounts receivable, and with that coming correct, there's, you know, labor order for 2025 and the season and prepping and, you know, where we're going to be at when we start prepping the soil and getting everything ready. And so I got really excited. And from a consumer stance, every time you walk in the store, you see not only products, but consistent products. You see consistently good products now. You see these shops all over the place, so the accessibility is exciting. And I think from, you know, 2025, if you're a consumer and you come here and that's your way of consuming is going to the shelf, there's no lack of option, that's for sure. So that's exciting because as a cultivator, it gives you options to put your product on the shelf, which I find very exciting because every shop you go into is a different consumer experience. You might have one that's really focused on, you know, let's just talk about the music that's playing when you walk into some of them. Some of them you walk in and you've got you're tapping your toe because you're like at the club. And then others you go into and it's, you know, very mellow. You might hear some rock and it's like user friendly or consumer friendly rather. It's a very neutral vibe when you walk in, almost like, you know, like convenience store feeling, very neutral, stale almost, you know, but. So again, I think the options are great. I'm very excited. I think that the illicit market and what's called the black market and the white market have always competed. They will always compete. That's, you know, how it got started. And sometimes I get frustrated with that because sometimes I feel like it's betting against yourself. It's kind of like going to the tables and betting, you know, 50 on red and 50 on black. It's like we're just betting against ourselves. But at some point, it'll phase out again. And I think the market will ride out, the regulated market will ride out, and we'll figure it out, and we'll get to a consumer happy place where prices are good and farmers are getting paid. The cultivators are getting paid.
Nice.
I love that. So we have made it to the top of the hour. Do you have any closing remarks, say how to contact you?
Dark Staffing, you can look us up, darkstaffingsolutions.com. We are in Arcata. We are very accessible. We take calls, emails. If there's a shortage of labor in your area, call us. But also, if you're a job seeker, call us too. And you want to jump on a team, work for really cool entities, then give Dark Staffing Solutions a shout out. And thank you guys for having me on. This has been a very exciting conversation. And I'm always happy to entertain talking about our industry. And
yeah, well, I really appreciate
it. Keep it going.
I really appreciate your guesting, and I also think it's been an exciting conversation. And you know, we'll get you on again. You know,
right? And have a great year.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, you bet.
Too. We've all crossed paths. I'm sure.
We will. Okay, you have been listening to KMUG Community Radio's The Cannabis Show with your hosts, Steve Dodge and Sunshine Sarasota. We've been lucky to talk with Jamie Dark, owner of Dark Staffing, and we've been talking all around the industry. We've had a couple of great callers, that fella Chris Daly. That was a little drop of hope, Chris. I appreciate the call. See, in the industry, you never know which way it's going to go. In any event, next week, you're just going to have to tune in and listen in to find out what we'll be doing, and then call in when you find out. So good night, Jamie, and good night, everyone.
This has been a KMUG podcast. To listen to other shows and more episodes of this show, find us on all the platforms where you get your podcast and also on our website, kmud.org.